first reading is from Numbers chapter 11, from verses 24. So Moses went out and told the people that the Lord, what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of the elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out of the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who were speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we're hearing them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. His disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. For the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Moses was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed because he had thousands and thousands, hundreds and thousands of people to feed. They wanted meat. He couldn't give them meat. There was no way he could, even if he slaughtered all their animals, there wasn't enough meat to feed them. And more than that, he was overwhelmed with his work. He had all these hundreds of thousands of people to lead. And what was he supposed to do? And he'd had a suggestion that he should get some people to do some leading. And he did. And he appointed elders. And those elders led their clans, each one of them. And that was all good. But this meat issue was a bit of an issue. And so Moses had a bit of a chat with God, and he sort of says, well, I have a problem, Lord, because they're asking for the meat. Of course they're grumbling, because this is the Israelites, we're in the desert. And it seems to be their way of doing things. And so they're grumbling, and they're grumbling, and they're grumbling, and Moses has gone to the Lord, and he says, Lord, I don't know what to do with them. And the Lord says, gather the 70 elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place there with you. I'll come down and talk with you there, and I'll take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people along with you so that you will not bear it all by yourself. So God says, I'm going to give them the power to lead. I'm going to give them a bit of the power that I've given you, and I'm going to put it on them. This is how the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. It was often just a matter of a person needed the power and the empowerment to lead, to do what God wanted them to do, and Holy Spirit was given for that time. But I love what happens after that, because there's still this conversation going about having enough meat to eat. And Moses says to the Lord, but what about the meat? What are we going to do about the meat? And the verse right before what we read this morning, I love. The Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. In other words, hold my beer. Stand back. I'm going to do this thing. And what does he do? Before he sends meat, before he deals with the physical need of the people, he pours out his spirit on the 70 elders, including the two who didn't even turn up to the tent. We were back in the camp. And those 70 elders are given an injection of some Holy Spirit power so that they will know that they can lead as God has called them to do. But that's all they get. It. Done. Stop prophesying. Now get on with the job. It's gone. It's just that moment. And it's enough for them to do the job they have to do. That's it. Now Moses was filled with the Spirit of God for his calling. But nobody else was. Nobody else had it. They relied on a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud to see where they were going. God was there with them, yes. But God was around them, not within them. All the way until the day that Jesus was born, God was around but not within. And then Jesus is born and he is God incarnate and God is with, but he's still not within. Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. After all, he's God. And Jesus is the presence of God with the people. But even then, there is no Holy Spirit on the people. The disciples are with him. He sends them out to heal. He sends them out to say the good news. He gives them power for the task, as with the Old Testament. And they have power for the task. When Jesus is resurrected and he comes to the disciples, we have it in John, don't we? That reading from John, Jesus breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained." Now that's a scary thought. And what is that about? That is about discernment. It is about being able to discern and being given the power of God for what they were being called into, and yet it is still not spirit within. It is a gift of Holy Spirit for them at that time, and it is something which flows on, because the gift of the Holy Spirit doesn't change. Holy Spirit doesn't change. Holy Spirit is God. God does not change. The sins we forgive are forgiven. The sins we do not forgive remain. The word for another time, but it does mean we have to think about whether or not we've forgiven people today. Have you forgiven the people you need to forgive? Because if you don't, you hold them and you get in the way of God's grace in their lives. Just a side note, but important for us to remember. And we get in the way of God's grace in our own lives when we do it. Still, no spirit within. And Jesus around 40 days. It's an interesting number, 40. We get a lot of 40s in the Bible, don't we? For 40 days he's around and he's appearing to up to 500 people. Have seen him. They've sat with him. They've talked with him. He's been teaching them all these great things. Still no spirit within. And then he's raised up to heaven. He ascends back to the Father's side, and he says to his disciples, "Remain in Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high." So to Jerusalem they go. And obedience and faith, they wait. Kids are waiting to work out what's going to go on that table in a minute. I'll tell you in a sec. We wait, we pray, and we wait, and we pray. And what's happening in those 10 days is that Jerusalem is filling up again. It fills at Passover, and then people go home, and then it fills again for a feast called Pentecost. Pentecost isn't a Christian invention. The feast was called Pentecost. It's 50 days after the Passover. Pente, 50. Pentecost. So we didn't come up with the word. This is a Jewish festival. What happens at Pentecost? Well, they all turn up. And they all turn up so that they can bring in their first fruits. It's a time of remembering the first fruits from the harvest in the land. And they bring their first fruits in, because the very first harvest in the land of Israel, when they were first in their promised land, was important, so they bring their first fruits. It's also a time where they celebrate the giving of the Ten Commandments at Sinai, giving of the law, which gave them the ability to know what God's will was so they could walk in it. And thousands of people swell Jerusalem at this time. Thousands and thousands. There's no room. People everywhere. And the Romans are restless. And then, with thousands of people around them, can you see how God sets stuff up? Thousands of people. Normally, Jerusalem is full. Yes, there's quite a lot of people there. It is the capital, after all. But thousands of people from all over the Roman Empire are there because they have come to bring their first fruits. They have come to worship the living God. They have come from everywhere. That's why you have all of these people from all over the world there, the Roman world, and those people all speak different languages, and they're all coming to Jerusalem to come to the temple to do the right thing by God. And in that time, 50 days after Passover, 50 days after the death of Jesus, 50 days, comes Holy Spirit. And this time, he doesn't just come as a gift for the ability to do one thing now. He comes to fill the people of God who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the qualification. You must believe in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that he has died for you, that he has been raised for you, and you have to believe that. That is the qualification. That's why the Holy Spirit doesn't break out upon the crowd. In the upper room, there are 120 people. And 120 people who believe that Jesus has died, is risen, and are waiting for the power to go out and tell everybody that. Receive it. And of course, there is fire and wind, the sound of a mighty wind, a sound of a rushing wind. Now, if you're going to have a rushing wind, you need a little bit of sound, don't you? Because you don't know the wind is there until you get a bit of sound. And you need fire. My fire is really pathetic. Somebody needs to colour it in for me. You think somebody can colour it in for me? I've only got two things, and this is all covered in pegs because I wasn't going to stick it on because I thought somebody can complete this one for me. So we need fire. We have the red for the fire. We have the red things, and we have some bells which you can tie on. You can just put it through the bottom of the bell and tie it on. This one's not tied on, so if I rick it around too much, it's going to flip off. But, and then if you hang that up in the wind, you're going to get wind chime to remind you that the Holy Spirit came in wind and fire. Why on earth did we need the wind and the fire? Because they needed to see it and hear it and know it. You know, human beings are either one thing or another. They're either the people who are very intuitive and they feel, and the feelings are what tell them that something's happening, and they run by their feelings and they can grab something and go, yes, that will be it. And there are other people who run according to, I have to taste it, I have to touch it, I have to see it. I have to know that it's real. I've got to be able to stand on it and go, yep, right, that's firm. Right? There are people like that. And we'll have all types here right now. And for the ones who feel, you might get that fire within and go, yes, I have Holy Spirit with me. But not everybody gets the fire within thing, do they? Some people just know that God is with them and they know in their knower. But for these people, how are they going to know that it's just the power from on high unless God does something amazing? So you get wind and you get tongues of fire. And they're getting around like candles with fire on their head. And then the power of the Spirit comes into them, and then they begin to do what? Sit down and pray some more? To speak. To witness. Because the Holy Spirit is not just for us to be able to know the presence of God with us, but for us to be able and empowered to go out and speak the name of Jesus in the world, that they might know that he is God. So I'm going to bring this down the back, release you from your servitude up the back here. It's, here you go. This one is to show you the how, but you can pull it apart to work out how it goes together, because I haven't stuck anything together on this one. And everything is here. Wait, there's some clips to hold things in place. Some of this, some of this. This is glue. It rolls. Okay? And there's sticky tape as well. And there's bells. Have fun. And there's your flames to color in, but you'll have to cut them out. Okay. Thousands of people come to faith, watching 120 people proclaim the living God. When the Holy Spirit comes within them, they are enlivened. There is the power of God within. And what is Holy Spirit there for? Not just to give them the ability to do something, but Holy Spirit is the presence of the living God. Holy Spirit is not just that I gave you a certificate and said, Keith, you're allowed to do the minutes at parish council. Holy Spirit is not just, you believe in God, this is a cool thing, here you are, that's great, you can be a Christian. Holy Spirit is the presence of the living God within. And not just a piece of God. The fullness of God. This is why it's so overwhelming sometimes, because when the fullness of God comes, the fullness of God often will overwhelm us, because it's God, for crying out loud. Power of God in the Holy Spirit is something deep and amazing. And often it comes with an experience. And everybody will have different experience. Not everybody has the same thing, but it manifests in different ways and we see it. So tongues, which we see with the apostles and the others who were gathered, speaking in tongues. And their tongues, notice, they're all talking, but other people are hearing them in their language. And this happens. I've read of people who have been speaking in tongues and they haven't known what they were saying, but somebody in the congregation has said, you just spoke in my native language. Man, didn't know what they were saying, but the person there recognized their language. So this happens with tongues. Sometimes with tongues, it is the language of angels, as Paul tells us, and you need someone to interpret that so that we know what God is saying. If we're gathered and we're speaking in tongues, I would want somebody, if they had a word in tongues, for there's somebody to be here who had that gift to be able to interpret it. There's nothing wrong with tongues. I speak in tongues all the time. I pray in tongues all the time. I have that gift. If you want that gift, that's cool. Ask for it. This is the thing. For some people, that is their gift, but not everybody. Not a qualifier of whether or not you have the Holy Spirit. The qualifier of whether or not we receive the Holy Spirit is whether we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you do not truly believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess Him with your lips, then Holy Spirit is not necessarily with you. But if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you have confessed Him with your lips, then He is. Because that is God's gift to you. But it's a bit like me. I was given a wonderful book. I knew it was a wonderful book because I'd read the review. It's a book by John Dixon called Bullies and Saints. Very good book. Great book. I was given it by a friend for my birthday, and I said, thank you very much for the book, and then I put it on the pile of books. You know the pile? Have you got a pile? A reading pile? I put it on the pile of books, and over it went to the pile of books. Great book. And somebody says to me, have you read Bullies and Saints? And I say, no, but I've got it. You've got it. Have you read it? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not that you do not have Holy Spirit. Have you read the book? Have you? Have you intentionally asked the Lord to be working in your life through Holy Spirit? See, a lot of us, especially in the Anglican Church, we're just a little bit more reserved, and that's okay. I'm an Anglican priest. It's okay. I'm an Anglican priest because I was called to be an Anglican priest. I have Pentecostals in my family. I have a sister who just worshipped wherever the Word of God was spoken, and so she's been everything from Baptist to fundamentalist Pentecostal to the Anglican. She even tried the Catholics out. It's okay. We're all Christian if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has died, that he is risen. What Jesus asks us to do, he sent the power so that we could be his witnesses. He sent the power so that we could walk by faith with God, and that we would have that power to do the things he's called us to do. And sometimes in our lives that will come in different ways. And we're going to do a little bit over the time. Next Sunday's Trinity Sunday, and we're going to explore what it is to have a Trinitarian God. And then we are going to look at some of those ways in which the Holy Spirit works in our lives. So over the next few Sundays, we're going to look at those ways. We have those gifts which are we hear in the New Testament, apostle, prophet, priest, the gifts of teaching, the gifts of evangelism, hospitality, mercy. There's lots of gifts, lots of different types of gifts. And so we're going to look at some of those things over the next little while. And for some people, they will say to me, they have absolutely no gift whatsoever. I tell you, you do. It's called the Holy Spirit. And somewhere in your life, you are living in that gift, but you may not have read the book yet, so you just know what's on the blurb. And we don't realize that we're actually operating in that gift. How many people do you know who are just the most amazingly merciful, giving people who spend their lives looking after other people? And you know they're doing that as a Christian person in service of God, and they will say to you, they will say to me, "Oh, I don't have any gift." Excuse me? What are you operating in? We just haven't realized. We haven't made the connection. That's a lot of the problem with this. It's Pentecost Sunday. And perhaps today you feel like you've got the book. You've had a look at the blurb. Maybe you've read the first few pages and you would like to know more of God within. At the end of this service, I'm going to invite you to come forward for prayer during the last hymn. And if you would like prayer that the Lord will activate in you and lift up those gifts, that you will understand all that indeed you would receive a fresh infilling of Holy Spirit, because you have stuff going on and at the moment you're feeling very jaded, and that's one of the things God does. Come and have prayer. Perhaps you need prayer for healing. Come and have prayer. What are one of the gifts of the Spirit? Healing. What's one of the first things that we have recorded that Peter and John and that did after all of this? On their way to the temple, wandering into the temple for their prayers, there's a man there, a man sitting outside the temple, and he was lame, and he says, "Alms for the poor," and Peter looks at him, he says, "I haven't got any money, but I'll give you what I've got. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." Power of Holy Spirit in healing. And he got up and he didn't just walk, he danced. But come for prayer. Come for prayer. Because God is with us. He is here. Wherever the people of God are gathered, he is here, because the Holy Spirit lives within those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To walk by faith in the God who gives us the Spirit, we need to read the book. So come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts. Move in this place. Let each one of us confirm the gift that you have given us. Help us to read the book. And Lord, help us not to leave here without being changed. And finally, Lord, make us your witnesses, for that is what the power of the Spirit does through the people of God. That is why he was sent, that we might be witness. So let us witness to you here and everywhere else. In Jesus' name. Amen.